News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathik Rit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The Supreme Court on Thursday acknowledged the right of farmers to non-violent protests and mooted the idea of putting on hold the contentious farm laws to enable negotiations with agitating farmers, which was opposed by the centre, saying agriculturists would then not come forward for the talks. The apex court, which made it clear that the issue of farmers' protest and the right to move freely of others would be dealt on priority and not the validity of laws at the moment, also said it was thinking of setting up an impartial and independent panel of agriculture experts and farmer unions to resolve the impasse. The top court said it was of the view that the farmers' right to protest should not infringe the fundamental rights of others to move freely and in getting essential food and other supplies, as right to protest cannot mean blockade of the entire city. The apex court, which said it was worried with the way things are going on, was told by both the centre and one of the farmers' union that the negotiations are not happening at the moment. It also said farmers cannot keep on protesting without talking to the government. You continue the protest, you have the right, but you have a purpose also, and that purpose is served only if you talk, discuss and reach a conclusion, a bench headed by Chief Justice S.A. Bobley said, but added that in a democracy, police and authorities have to be given power to prevent the protesters from infringing the rights of others. The bench said it would pass order on constituting a committee only after hearing all the parties, including the protesting farmer unions, and putting on hold the implementation of new agri laws by the centre would enable negotiations with farmers. However, Attorney General K.K. Venugopal opposed the suggestion and said if the implementation of the farm laws are put on hold, then farmers would not come forward for negotiations. The top court said it was not asking the centre to stay the farm laws, but only suggesting that its implementation be put on hold for the time being to enable the farmers to talk with the government. We are worried about the plight of farmers. We are also Indian, but we are worried with the way things are going on. The bench, also comprising Justices A.S. Bopanna and V. Ramasubramanian, said and added that they, the protesting farmers, are not a mob. The top court said it will pass orders for serving notices to the protesting farmer unions and give them the liberty to approach the vacation bench during the winter break. A day after quitting as MLA, Shuvendu Adhikari on Thursday resigned from the primary membership of the Trinamool Congress, further fueling speculation that he might switch over to the BJP in the coming days. Adhikari, the face of the Nandigram movement that added to the political heft of Mamata Banerjee and catapulted her to power in Bengal in 2011, sent his resignation letter to the West Bengal Chief Minister and TMC Supremo during the second half of the day yesterday. I'm writing to tender my resignation as a member of All India Trinamool Congress, as well as from all other positions held by me in the party and its associate organs with immediate effect, Adhikari wrote. Ending his two-decade-old association with the party, the former TMC heavyweight thanked Banerjee for the opportunities given to him and said he would always value the time he spent as its member. Some of Adhikari's supporters indicated that he was likely to join the BJP on Saturday during a saffron party program in Midnapore. Union Home Minister Amit Shah, who is scheduled to visit Bengal for 2 days starting Saturday, will also attend the program. Union Home Minister Amit Shah, who is scheduled to visit Bengal for 2 days starting Saturday, will also attend the program. Adhikari's resignation from the TMC puts a lid on all rumour mills that went abuzz speculating his move since November 26, when he resigned as the chairman of Hooghly River Bridge Commissioners, shortly after he quit the state cabinet. On Wednesday, he submitted his resignation as MLA of Nandigram constituency in Purva Medinipur district. Of late, he had criticised the TMC leadership on several occasions for its style of functioning. The party made several attempts to woo him back, but none bore fruit. Hinting that a rebellion was brewing in the ruling party ahead of the assembly polls, Adhikari had on Wednesday night held a closed-door meeting with its disgruntled leaders, including Asansol Civic Body Chief Jitendra Tiwari and Senior MP Sunil Mandal in Paschim Bardhaman district. Tiwari, an MLA from Pandabeshwar constituency who recently slammed the state government for allegedly depriving the industrial town of central funds for political reasons, resigned as the chairman of the Board of Administrators, Asansol Municipal Corporation, on Thursday afternoon. Senior TMC leader Deepthangshu Chaudhary, who was present at the meeting, has also tendered his resignation from the post of South Bengal State Transport Corporation chairman. And dozens of more US states are joining an escalating effort to prove Google has been methodically abusing its power as the internet's main gateway in a way that hurts consumers habitually feeding personal information into its search engine and advertisers pouring billions of dollars into its vast marketing network. The lawsuit was filed on Thursday in federal court in Washington by attorneys general of 35 states as well as the District of Columbia and the territories of Guam and Puerto Rico. It seems likely to be combined with a similar complaint by the U.S. Department of Justice in late October that is also trying to defuse Google's dominance of online search and digital advertising. Consumers are denied the benefits of competition, including the possibility of higher quality services and better privacy protections. Advertisers are harmed through lower quality and higher prices that are in turn passed along to consumers, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser said in announcing the action. In a blog post, Google's Director of Economic Policy, Adam Cohen, said, "Big companies should be scrutinized and Google is prepared to answer questions about how it works. But this lawsuit seeks to redesign search in ways that would deprive Americans of helpful information and hurt businesses' ability to connect directly with consumers. We look forward to making that case in court while remaining focused on delivering a high-quality search experience for our users," he said. The case is the third antitrust salvo to slam Google during the past 2 months as the U.S. Department of Justice and attorneys general from across the U.S. weigh in with the different variations on how they believe the company is abusing its immense power to do bad things that harm other businesses, innovation, and even consumers who find its services to be indispensable. "There's not been a cluster of cases of this significance since the 1970s, said William Kovacic, a law professor at George Washington University and a former chairman of the Federal Trade Commission, pointing to the recent spate of antitrust actions by the states, the Justice Department, and the FTC. "This is a big deal," he said. The DOJ brought an antitrust suit against AT&T in 1974 that led to its breakup. In many ways, the flurry of U.S. antitrust suits represent an attempt to catch up with European regulators who have spent the past several years trying to crack down on Google, mostly with huge fines, to little noticeable effect so far. Virat Kohli's enduring love affair with Adelaide Oval resulted in a classy 74, but his untimely run out triggered a batting collapse as India ended the opening day at 233 for 6 against Australia in the first day-night test in Adelaide on Thursday. Kohli, who looked in complete command, was run out when his deputy Ajinkya Rahane backed out after calling for a single, and it happened just before the second new ball was taken. From a comfortable 188 for 3, India slumped to 206 for 6 as Rahane and Hanuma Vihari, who scored 16, found the pace and swing generated by the pink ball under lights too hot to handle. Ravi Chandran Ashwin, 15, still at the crease, and Riddhiman Saha, 9, who still at the crease, saw off the final few overs and also got a few runs. In conditions which can't exactly be called batting friendly, Kohli blended the right amount of caution and aggression in his 180 ball innings, showing one and all that he is a few light years ahead of his peers when it comes to quality batsmanship. If Cheteshwar Pujara, 43 of 160 balls, let bowlers dictate terms with an ultra defensive approach, his skipper gave opposition the respect it deserved, but also from time to time played those shots to drive home a point. His 88-run partnership with Rahane, who scored 42 of 91 balls, during the final session nearly put India on even keel. But fortune tilted once Kohli was back in the pavilion. Rahane was soon snapped with the second new ball by Mitchell Starc, who got 2 for 49, easily the best bowler in action. Earlier, Pujara's ultra-defensive approach became his own undoing as India literally crawled during the first two sessions. So intent was Pujara on blocking anything and leaving everything for the better part of his innings that a 68-run stand for the third wicket with Kohli couldn't release pressure going into the second break of the evening. Not often does one find a batsman take 148 balls to score a boundary, and it became a battle of attrition between Pujara and star spinner Nathan Lyon, who got 1 for 68 in 21 overs, during the post-dinner session. He did hit Lyon for a couple of boundaries trying to break the shackles, but then came a classical off-break which had both turn and bounce, and the bat-pad fielder Manas Labuschagne at leg gully lunged forward to take an easy catch. In the morning, the poor technique of Prithvi Shaw, who scored a duck, was once again exposed by Stark, while Mayank Agarwal, who scored 17, got a beauty from Pat Cummins. The Australian pace troika of Stark, 2 for 49 in 19 overs, Josh Hazlewood, 1 for 47 in 20 overs, and Pat Cummins, 1 for 42 in 19 overs, bowled a steady line comprising mostly of fuller deliveries. At the start, it was another disappointing mode of dismissal for Shaw, who according to many was a rather surprising selection over an in-form Shubman Gill. Stark kept a full delivery which slightly shaped in, and the opener, having faced one delivery, went for an expansive drive, playing away from his body only to drag it back onto the stumps. Agarwal was a bit adventurous as he found India's first boundary with a cover drive of Hazlewood. An uppish square drive of Stark got him a second one, but Cummins produced one that was fast and moved off the track, and Agarwal was beaten for pace as replays showed that he couldn't even complete landing on his front foot. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.